hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be if you are a private label seller based in the UK, whether you're selling in the USA or are now moving out into the UK as well. Warm welcome back to the podcast. I'm sorry it's been about a week and a half since you heard from me. Been busy, working on the business, working the day job, just lots of things afoot in my personal life as well, which is all good. But I'm back and I will be broadcasting at least once a week to you. I'll try and get it up to twice a week if that's going to be possible. Today, I've taken a new resolution as part of my new year, new thinking to be more efficient with my podcasting, meaning that I'm going to edit as little as possible. So I'm afraid you may get more ums and ahs and sort of creaking of chairs and whatever. I figure, you know what, if you're interested, it's not because I produce the perfect podcast, it's because I produce something of excellent value, or at least it's good enough value that it's worth you listening to it. So hope you'll forgive me for that new policy. I'm also not going to bother putting music edits in the middle. I know it's part of the fun. I'll do that in future if I can, but I just want to cut straight to the chase today. So welcome to 2016. I know we're somewhat into the year. As usual, I'm starting to do my 2016 plan for my business, considerable way through January. In fact, it's over halfway now. So typical of me running a little bit behind, but I'm still going to get this stuff done. So progress, not perfection, guys. It's not about being perfect. It's about moving forwards. That's what I would say. Today, we are dealing with 2016 and goal setting. Last episode or two ago, I dealt with 2015 and my learnings from that. If you were part of the Periscope broadcast, I've just started doing Periscope broadcasts, then you will know all about my 2016 goals already. If you weren't part of that and you've missed out on that and you want to be getting part of the future Periscope broadcast that I do, you'll probably want to join the Facebook group because that's where most people find out about stuff. And that will be at amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book. Also, I have just completed a video which is being processed by my computer as we speak, as well as it recording my GarageBand podcast episode. So I hope my computer's not straining its brain here, its electronic brain. But that will be dealing with the basics of setting up your Amazon ads campaigns. I've had a lot of people request that from the Facebook group. So if you want access to the videos, which are step-by-step screen captures of me working on the Amazon platform and the Amazon Seller Central, then you'll want to get yourself on the email list there, www.amazingfba.com/welcome, and join the 90 other people that are on the list. Go on, help me get to 100, guys. It'd be great to have a round number. Facebook group is taking off. I had 5 member requests that I approved today, so we've got 125 members now. So it's still small enough to be quite intimate and to, you know, for me to answer queries individually. If it gets too much bigger, I won't be able to do that. So now is the time to join and get some hands-on, you know, input from me. So without any further ado, let's get on with today's episode, which is all about setting big goals for your 2016 Amazon business. Just before I get into this, I want to say that I've just put a timer on to help me get on with this podcast. And it's a very interesting thing. There's two principles what I'm going to be applying throughout the year. So although this isn't just about goal setting, this is about the process of pretty much everything, but including goal setting and just getting stuff done on a daily basis. And that's really the main thrust of what I have to say today is two things: big goals, even if you don't know how to reach them, and daily action, absolutely nitty gritty. So we're opposite ends of the spectrum, basically. And I think both things are important. When it comes to the nitty-gritty, just as an example of what I'm doing right now, I'm setting myself a timer to get tasks done. For example, I set myself a timer to get the outline for this podcast done in 10 minutes instead of the usual, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes of thinking things through too much that actually doesn't lead to higher quality. So there's two laws that I'd like to talk about here that Tim Ferriss talks about. Now, he is an amazing thinker. Tim Ferriss, he wrote the 4-Hour Work Week and also wrote 2 books, which I've also got, The 4-Hour Chef and The 4-Hour Body. The latter two are good. The 4-Hour Work Week is amazing. It's like 5 great business books in one. I have not read a better life/business book ever. And I've got, if I look at my library here, easily over 50 business books and about another 10, 15 self-development books that aren't strictly business, more popular psychology. So Tim Ferriss is the man. 2 R's, 2 S's, F-E-R-R-I-S-S. I'll put it on the show notes. Tim Ferriss, in his amazing book, The 4-Hour Work Week, and like all the people that I trust, he did it this first and then taught it rather than the other way around. He says there are two laws that you need to work together. 80-20, which is to cut things down to the 20% of things that make the 80% of difference in your business and in your life. And then there's another thing called Parkinson's Law, right? Basically, Parkinson was a guy who did a study in the civil service in the UK in the 1950s, I believe. And he found out that what tended to happen is that people would hire people in the civil service to do jobs because they'd then get a bigger budget and they'd feel more powerful, and they'd hire two people to do the job of one person. And then each of those people eventually would hire two people as well. So the whole thing spiraled out of control. It's a classic example of public service inefficiency at its worst. But the classic Parkinson's law, which even my mum used to know about and tell me when I was growing up, is that work expands to fill the time available. So the irony is, if you cut down the time available to do a task, it doesn't necessarily come out worse, it comes out better. Number one, you're focused. Number two, there's an energy about compression, which you're probably sensing right now because I'm more energized because I'm determined to get this done in about another 24 minutes and 30 seconds, 23 minutes, 30 seconds, according to my top timer. The other thing is that you cut to the chase. You don't have any fluff or filler because you haven't got time. And actually, the fluff and filler doesn't make your product better, doesn't make your podcast better, doesn't make whatever you're doing better, right? Now, that doesn't necessarily apply to products. Sometimes you want to add extra features, but for very, very good reasons, like you want to emotionally engage your buyers, etc., right? So I would urge you to spend your entire life obsessed with 80-20 and Parkinson's Law. Work expands to fill the time available, so cut the time available. And 80% of the results come from 20% of the inputs, so get on with the 20% and try to cut the other 80% out. Okay, so applying this to 2016, there are three basic areas of this that I'm going to talk about here, which are reviewing the previous year and evaluating progress against a plan and building a plan. And I have to say that for the majority of this stuff, I am grateful to Daniel Wagner and James Watson, mostly Daniel Wagner of the former Expert Success Academy, which if you're listening, Daniel, I think is unlikely because you're busy running your own marketing campaigns and educational products. But, you know, thank you for that and forgive me. I'm at least attributing it to you, so I'm not trying to nick it completely without attribution. Right, let's talk about goals. Why have goals in the first place, okay? A lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people think you have goals in order to achieve goals. Now, yes, that's ideal, but that's not really the important reason for big goals, which is what I'm going to deal with first. Big goals, like annual goals, which I think is a big unit of time when it comes to Amazon or anything online. Things change so quickly online that a year involves a degree of unknowability. Like, you don't necessarily know what the reality will be in a year's time, never mind two. But the purpose of big goals is to inspire you and to change your thinking, to force you to change everything, really, into, you know, a different mindset, to force you to go out and find new ways of doing things, to force you to change, grow, develop, to force you to scale your business, to make it scalable in the first place, okay? It's not necessarily about achieving all of it. I think, again, if you can manage to achieve 80% of a big goal, you're doing really well. Now, I set a goal last year to have $25,000 worth of turnover in my Amazon business by December. I hit $15,000. Now, one of the products that I was scheduled to get in early December didn't actually arrive until late December because the Chinese are so good at creating delays. So I have to say that if I'd had that in, I might well have got closer to $20,000. So I was somewhat short, but that would have probably taken me to about, you know, 80% of 25,000. What's 15,000 as a percentage of 25? You work it out, it's 3/5, and it's 60%. So I achieved 60% of my goal, which is not great. But if I'd set my sights on $10,000 and I'd achieved 60% of my goal, then I'd have had just 6,000, so a lot less. So have big goals, even if you don't reach them. Obviously, you should try your best to reach them, but when you're setting things very far in advance, and I would say a year is a very far in advance online, in real life, when you're in a startup, then recognize the fact that you may or may not hit it. You may achieve it, you may exceed it, you may go under it. It's unlikely you're going to get that exact figure. Second thing to say is when you're setting really big goals, the whole point of a big goal is to make you change your thinking. So you won't know how to get it yet. If it's something you know how to get, that's probably more like a quarterly goal. What should you be doing the next 3 months? And I'd encourage you to plan very, very much in 3 month chunks, max 4 months, in terms of nitty gritty. Yeah, it's just big picture stuff is for the annual, I think. You know, what people used to do, like 5 year plan, and they'd have a big vision and then they'd make a detailed plan for a year. I think the appropriate planning cycle for online and for a startup with those two factors combined is not to plan for 5 years and then have a detailed plan for 1 year, but to plan for a year as the big picture, the long term, if you like, and then have a 3 month plan that's much more detailed. Okay, so don't worry about the how yet when it comes to the big goals. Let's talk about planning as well. So planning and goals often go together. There's a famous quote by an American general, I forget who it is now. He said, when it comes to planning, I find the act of planning very, very useful, and I find plans worthless. So your plan will change. If you make a very detailed plan for a year out, it's going to change so many times that I would question the value of that. It's good to have a very broad picture plan, perhaps, but I would urge you to set big goals for the year and then have more detailed plans for the 3 month period and quite a detailed plan for the month and the week. Okay, so it's more about the process than the result when it comes to planning. And it's more about your thinking in many ways than it is anything else. The other thing about goals is to be very, very clear about the very, very biggest picture, which is not something that makes things vague, but makes them very precise, right? So if you grasp a principle and apply it consistently to everything, rather than creating a rigid plan, you're creating a mentality that constantly throws up opportunities and also eliminates things that aren't opportunities, time wastes, you know, if you like. So those two principles, I would say the biggest ones are the 80-20 principle, the Parkinson's law, and I would add into that the STAR principle. Now, I did a podcast, just a podcast or two about that by Richard Koch, the STAR principle. And that basically says that his investing philosophy, which has made him, by the way, it's not a theory, it's made him one of the richer people in the UK. He's somewhere on the Forbes rich list and he's worth well in excess of £150 million, right? So getting on for $250 million, probably exceeded that by now. So he walks his talk, right? And he says that his investment philosophy is very simple. He's looking for two things in a business. One is that it is in a growing market niche. Now, when it's offline or longer term, it should be growing at a minimum of 10% a year, but in the early days, preferably more like 20 to 50% per year. And the other thing is that it needs to be the number one player in that niche. So you don't need to be overcomplicated in your goals. In a way, what you're looking for is stars. You're looking for your star, okay? And that is a basic principle. That's a basic mindset. It's a basic way of looking at the world that you need to just hone and just drill into your head. And then what results from that will, over time, develop into the right business. If you create some rigid plan that's very boring, very corporate, that's not going to really help you. Yeah, and the other thing, just 80-20 everything always, right? If you create a massive plan, before you bother implementing it, look at it. And on paper, when it's cheap and it's easy, you can change things, right? Once you get into something, it's going to be expensive. You look at it and you thrash around on paper and you go, right, is this actually going to help me? If not, cut it out. You know, is this going to help me? A bit. Okay, which of these things are the top wins, the biggest goals? Okay, make sure you go for those. The other things are a bonus. Okay, right. I have got the sheet of exercises that I used to do with Daniel Wagner. I think it's one of the best planning exercises I've ever come across. And I'm going to take you through this now. And I urge you to apply this to your own business. Okay, so this comes in three parts: reviewing results, evaluating the progress against the plan, and building a next plan. This is basically designed for 90-day planning. So I would take this very seriously for 90 days, but I would do one for the year as well, because it's always good to reflect at a natural period of reflection, and the turn of the year is one of those places. The first thing to do is to note the top three wins in 2015. For me, that would be finding a product that makes very good profit, and in some ways it would be hitting $15,000 a month in sales in December. Certainly that's a huge increase in December 2014 when I just got launched with one product when I made like about $460 in sales. Massive increase, and whatever that is in percentage terms, that's about 30 times, so 300%. Also, What are the big wins? Yeah, I've got 5 products launched, and I have to say that a bonus win, which isn't strictly part of the Amazon business, is to launch the podcast, which seems to be taking off and is producing some very interesting side effects, which I'll talk about at the end, okay? Top 3 learnings in 2015. Top 3 learnings probably would be the importance of checking profit margins and making sure that I'm profitable earlier in the product cycle. When you first launch a product, you expect to be putting money in rather than taking money out. But at some point, that has to change round. I'm going to be making that happen after, say, 3 to 4 months rather than a year, okay, which I did with my first product. Second big learning in 2015 is probably that the daily and weekly time I put in is always less than I was expecting, and that I need to protect that time more, and I need to make that more sacred, if you like. Now, I have created more time in this term, so I've given up my Saturday work, and I've given up one other day, evening, a week of some work that I was doing in order to make some more time in the week. Now, that's partly a function of the business working and, you know, developing faith in the business as money actually starts to show. But that is something I would urge you to do, to make sure you carve out of your week the time you need. Third learning is really the importance, again, of staying connected with really powerful people. My mentor that I was on the phone to a couple of times before Christmas really helped me turn around my Christmas sales. And that just reminded me to not be cheapskate and not be mean with my time when it comes to taking time to learn. So big learning for you guys, I would say get yourself in a mastermind group of some kind of peers. Hopefully our Facebook community can be one of those places for you. I am going to offer physical meetings if that is of interest to people. I will, however, need to charge for that because it's going to take a lot of time and energy to organize, and you've got to pay for hotel bills, etc. The podcast is free. Membership with the Facebook community is free. So just to be clear about that, and it always will be. So if you need to be part of a community, I'd urge you once again, go to our Facebook community, www.amazingfba.com/FB, F as in Frank, B as in book, and ask to join and I'll let you in. The only reason I ask people to join is just I just need to be able to vet people. They start pitching the group and they're not actually Amazon sellers. I need to have control over that just to keep the group a useful place for people to be. Anyway, small aside there. So I'm going to carry on with the top 3 frustrations in your year. Top 3 frustrations in 2015, I would say waiting for suppliers. So that gives you a hint, guys, as to what you might outsource or in other ways minimize or find a system that's going to work with it. What other frustrations did I have? I would say, yeah, not making as many sales as I wanted to for some products, and also not really having a proper financial overview, so not getting my figures sorted quicker. And again, that's something that I can't completely get rid of. You've got to have numbers in your business, and you're going to have suppliers, but I can outsource more of that, and I need to talk to my accountant pretty urgently about that as well. Okay, now, let's do another couple of things that you should be doing probably every 3 months, but certainly once a year, a SWOT analysis, okay? Good old SWOT, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. I'm not going to go into an exhaustive list here, but I urge you to do a reasonably big list. I'll give you a few examples. For me, my strengths, I think the strength is that I've got quite a bit of experience on Amazon now, that I've got quite a few people on the email list of people who have managed to be persuadable to go on the email list who were my buyers. I found a couple of products that are profitable, and that I have a pretty good idea now of how to run the process, which means in future it should go quicker. Weaknesses, I think I've only got 2 SKUs in at the moment. I'm waiting for 3 to be produced, or they've actually been produced. I'm waiting for them to be shipped over, so that should be with me by the end of January, in theory, but you never know. When I say with me, couple coming to the UK and one going to the USA. Weaknesses, though, I think really marketing, as in sending traffic to my listing, is probably my biggest weakness, because I'm very much still relying on Amazon ads. And when you're first starting out, guys, you've got to have goals that are appropriate for you. That's absolutely fine. When you're first starting out, use Amazon ads. Don't get confused with Google AdWords, with Facebook marketing, with video marketing on YouTube, etc. But in my case, I've let that drift for too long. I need to stop relying just on organic Amazon traffic and Amazon ads and get out and develop with a vengeance some outside traffic channels. So that's one thing that's weak. Another weakness is simply that I depend on Amazon as my sole sales channel, which is a bit of a risk. And again, I'm missing an opportunity there. So I need to develop a Shopify channel of my own, you know, a site. So I've already got a website for the product, but that's basically a branding site for anyone who looks for it, for suppliers who are thinking of working with us and want to take us seriously. That's fine as far as it goes, but that's a weakness I think that I need to work on. Opportunities, I think there are many opportunities. Obviously, the biggest and most obvious opportunity is to find the right sort of products in the same marketplace. Another big opportunity is to go back and exploit the existing customers and get their details in anywhere I can and get them on an email list and to upsell them or to, you know, sell them other products that we also sell as well. And again, that's something I need to explore. Threats would normally include the competition. So, you know, people in the same product space as you going into exactly the same product. For example, if you sell, you know, whiteboard markers, then everybody in the world piling into the whiteboard marker pen market and making it very price sensitive and pushing up the costs for competition. Other threats could be that Amazon will close down your listings if you misbehave or even close down your account if you really mess it up. Obviously, there are ways to counter threats. So if you're worried about your weaknesses and threats, obviously the thing to do is to think of a solution. So if you think that there's a threat of that, then you can do a couple of things. One is you can check Amazon's terms of service. You can talk to other Amazon sellers who are, you know, keeping their noses clean and find out what their advice is. And of course, you can contact specialists. If the worst happens and you do get your account suspended, then you can contact people who can get it reinstated as well. They do exist. When it comes to weaknesses, like, for example, in my case, a lack of outside traffic, then the best thing to do is go and get yourself educated, which is exactly what I intend to do. So SWOT analysis is very powerful as long as you do something about it. I mean, if you actually get insights and then you make a plan to act on those insights, that's great. If you just go, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, you're right. I should do that. And then do nothing about it. Well, then don't waste your time doing a SWOT analysis. You know, analysis without action that follows it is just, you know, the corporate equivalent of, I don't know if I dare say this on a clean podcast. Okay, it's an indulgence. Don't do it. Okay, right. The top three assets you're not using. I would say the number one asset I'm not using is the email list of buyers. And that's really something I want to change. The second asset I'm probably not using is my personal connections with and knowledge of the music industry in the UK, because I am selling products in the UK in that industry. Now, I'm probably risking things by saying that, but, you know, okay, that's my product category. I'll admit that live on air. But exactly how I should use that, I don't know, but it's an obvious thing, right? I'm selling products that are used by musicians. I am a musician. I know tons of musicians. All my Facebook friends are musicians. There's a kind of obvious lost opportunity there. Exactly how to use it, I don't know, but that is at some point something I need to sit down and just work through with my mentor or with somebody else. The other asset I'm probably not using is that I'm a very verbal person. I'm a very communicative person, which is why the podcast is great for me. It really suits me, but I'm not really using that yet in my Amazon business. I mean, I've created a Facebook group, created a fan page and YouTube broadcasts and Periscope broadcasts for this community of Amazon sellers. The only one of those that I've done for my business so far is a Facebook fan page. In and of itself, a Facebook fan page isn't going to do very much for you, really, unless it's constantly being populated with content. But it's part of a wider picture of connecting more deeply with customers, which is another thing that I'm not doing. So there you go. Just off the top of my head, just going through this process is making me realize there's a ton of missed opportunity in this business. But the great news is it's just waiting to be expanded out into a much better, much bigger, much more real business, much more firmly grounded. Okay, financial goals then. So when we've been looking at what we've been doing up to now and thinking about changing it. Now let's think about going forwards. What are your goals for 2016? Financial goals. My financial goal is very simple. Now, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to try and multiply the business so that it is turning over $100,000 a month by December 2016. Now, that's not a massive leap, but it's huge enough for me. I mean, if you think about the relationship between my 2014 December, which is like under $500, and my 2015 December, which is $15,000, that's actually not quite such a hike. So I would have to multiply my business. 15,000 times 6 would be 90. So it would be like times 6 point whatever, 6, 6, I don't know, 6 and a bit. So if we say 6 times, that would be nice. Now, notice that I'm quite happy if I aim for $100,000 a month and I end up making $83,000 a month, because think about that magic number, $83,333 a month means that you're turning over $1 million a year. Be nice to have a $1 million business. No particular reason why I shouldn't be able to achieve it. I don't know how yet. But one thing I do want to do is make sure that the profit level goes up. So that's my second big financial goal, is to make sure that the gross profit levels on the products stay at least above 25%. I'd like to go higher, but I accept that it's getting more and more competitive. And that the net profit of the business as a whole, before tax, is at the minimum of 10%, which is a fairly typical number for most businesses. Again, if I can get it up to 15%, all the better. But I'd be quite happy to own a business that's making $100,000 and giving me $10,000 in net profit. I could then take $3,000 or $4,000 to live on and then put the rest back in the business. I mean, that's quite a good scenario to be in. So that is my main financial goal for 2016. Now, a really useful thing to think about is stop, start and keep list, okay? What things are you going to stop doing that you've been doing in 2015? So for me, that's quite simple. In some cases, I'm going to stop two products. I've got one product of which I have about 400 units. And the reason I got 400 units, and that's based in the USA, is because it didn't sell very well before Christmas. So of course, I got lots of it left. The ones that sold well are out of stock, and I'm just waiting for restock. The second thing I'm going to stop doing in terms of products is another product that sold well, but had actually, when I analyzed the figures to death, it turns out it was just breaking even. It wasn't actually making a profit. And actually, that's been in business for a year, that product or business, you know, being on sale for a year. Kind of a waste of time to bother after that point. It's well out of launch phase. It's not making a profit. I couldn't think of a particular way to make it profitable. So I've not bothered to restock that. Now, that listing still exists. It's still got its reviews, about 340 reviews. And, you know, if I find a way to drive traffic more cheaply, or, you know, do some other way that will make it make sense, I can always revisit that. So that's not absolutely shut down. It's just kind of, if you like, in abeyance, and that's fine by me, you know. What am I going to stop doing? I'm going to stop really doing things myself, which other people can do better, and which I find really annoying. So those two main things I'm going to stop doing are dealing with the Chinese suppliers more than I have to. I've got a Chinese guy now on board. He's willing to do that. He's a Chinese native speaker, and he's from Shanghai originally, but he lives in the UK and is got a degree in procurement. Yeah, so how to, you know, supply chain management. So he's like the perfect guy, and he's really trustworthy. He came extremely highly recommended by an old friend who I trust implicitly. So basically, there's no particularly great reason for me to keep doing that. It will keep a bit more profit margin in it, but it's a barrier to me expanding. Another thing I'm going to stop doing is doing my own too much of my own reconciling of accounts. I keep trying to do it, and maybe I should do it myself for a bit. One thing I need to stop doing is letting it drift, put it that way. I need to get up to date. So two other places. What am I going to start doing? What am I going to keep doing? I'm going to keep... one thing I'm going to keep doing, which again isn't strictly Amazon business, is to keep doing this podcast. I really enjoy it. It seems a lot of people getting more and more value out of it. And I'm beginning to get value in the sense that other people are beginning to take me more seriously as an Amazon seller and get in touch with me, partly because I have that exposure. They know I exist, you know, because they listen to my podcast or other people hear about it that way. You know, it gets my name out there. But that is one aside. So you'll be glad to know that I'm definitely going to ramp up the podcast and the community and the trainings that we offer, if anything. As I say, I'm going to do a physical meetup if there's a demand for it. If you want to be part of a physical meetup, as I say, we'll have to charge something for it. It's not going to be a lot to start with because it would be kind of beta testing anyway. If that's something you're interested in, get over to the Facebook group. Again, it's www.amazingfba.com/FB. F as in face, B as in book. And tell me that you want to meet up. I'll probably put up a little poll soon asking whether people are interested in that, okay? So that's one thing I'm going to keep doing. Another thing I'm going to keep doing is a couple of the products that I'm selling, which have got both sales momentum and are profitable, which is great. That's what we really want. That's the holy grail. And what I'm going to keep doing, I'm going to keep running Amazon ads. I'm going to keep keeping a very close eye on the costs of those. Now, I've just come across a very expert guy who's invited me into some mastermind group that he's running, and he's an expert in pay-per-click. So I'm going to be hopefully getting some amazing tips from him and his group of Amazon big hitters. And I'm also going to be doing a little Periscope, podcast episode. I'll do a Periscope as well if you want. Let me know as ever. And I'll be doing that on Amazon Ads, the basics of setting up Amazon Ads and then making sense of the numbers. Now, I don't have a particular expertise, but I've been doing it as my main source of traffic for a year. So I have the sort of basics that I can teach you. And then as I learn more, I'll pass that on as well. Just a reminder once again that I've just created a video which is just finished processing on my computer as we speak. And that will be on how to create your first Amazon Ads. And that's, a screencast of me actually working my computer directly. And that's going to be available to anyone who's on the Amazon Insiders list, which you will find if you want to give us your email at www.amazingfba.com/welcome. Okay, so a little reminder of that. So other things I'm going to keep doing, I'm going to keep our Facebook fan page for the business, but I need to actually be a lot more active with it. We've got a Twitter account. I'm going to keep that. We're going to be more active as well. My partner's been helping by posting up the odd entertaining thing just to keep it real. And different media need different sort of styles. So Twitter is very much sort of light, little tidbits, kind of entertainment, that sort of thing. What I'm going to start doing, as I mentioned before, what I'm going to start doing basically is running a lot more traffic to the listing. Okay, so I'm going to look into it in the first instance, videos, and I'm going to start running a Thomason campaign to get some contests for video reviews, which is something that I heard from Liz Guerrera, who is doing phenomenally well, a fantastic lady that I heard in a conference speaking a while ago. She's an American-based seller, but very, very good indeed. And so that's one top tip. I've also read from Perry Marshall, who's the Google AdWords expert, that it's one of the most underexploited media there is, you know, because basically Google owns YouTube, and YouTube is the second most used search engine in the world, which is not something that you immediately think of when you think of Amazon. I'm just going to make a note of these people so I can put them in the show notes here. So we've got Richard Koch. We're mentioning a lot of people today. Richard Koch, Liz, Perry Marshall. I'm always mentioning these guys anyway these days. And Timothy Ferris as well. And here's a amazing four-hour work week. So I'll make notes of those in the show notes as well. So yeah, I'm going to start with video marketing. I also want to get onto Google AdWords. That's a very big, complex area, but it's time I got my feet wet because it's so important. And hopefully this pay-per-click expert will be able to help me with that. And I'll pass on whatever I learn, guys, as I always do. And then Facebook ads as well and Facebook marketing generally. Again, I'm on Facebook quite a bit. I'm familiar with Facebook groups because I'm running one for this podcast. That doesn't necessarily mean I know how to use it for, my business. So that's something else I've got to figure out for myself. What else am I going to start doing? As I said, I'm going to outsource more of my sourcing. Outsourcing the sourcing. I like that. So I'm going to outsource the finding of suppliers in China and dealing with them on a day-to-day basis. And I'm going to outsource more of my bookkeeping. I'm not really planning on getting a VA yet. I don't think that's going to be good use of money. I still want to keep most of my money available for actual inventory. Okay, right then. So now a couple of other things. The threat of number one. So where is the number one a problem? Okay. For me, the number one thing is having one sales channel, which is Amazon. So as I said, I'm going to start a Spotify store of my own at some point. I've got one supplier for all of the main products that I'm selling at the moment. Now, that's okay as long as they play ball and as long as the quality stays reasonably consistent and they don't jack their prices up. Their prices have started to creep up despite the fact that the cost of oil has gone down, which is used in making a lot of products directly, as in they're made of oil products. Oil, you know, plastic, for example, is you know, an oil-based product. So the cost of oil is plummeting, so really that should actually bring the cost of goods down for the moment. The Chinese economy is going down as well, which means that obviously they are, you know, more in need of our cash than they were before. So again, that should push prices down. So having one supplier and they know you've only got one supplier tends to mean that over time they'll put their prices up on you. So that's a risk that I've got to mitigate in my business. So now we come to top three goals for 2016. My top three goals, really, as I said, number one is really to aim to get $100,000 a month of turnover in December of 2016. Now, how I'm going to achieve that, not quite sure. I mean, one thing's for sure, that the more SKUs you have, as in the more product lines, the more money you make. Ben Cummings is always saying that. Having said that, in my experience, then each new product line takes quite a large injection of capital. I don't personally have that capital now. I could take on a business partner. It's possible. I'll certainly consider it. I could get some debt. Again, that's possible, but that really increases risk. I consider it, but I'm not keen. But I mean, another way to increase sales is not just to have more products, but of course to double or triple the sales of each product. So that is where my main focus is going to be. And if it's paid marketing, then that's going to cost money, but it drip feeds out. It doesn't require suddenly £5,000 here and £5,000 there. But that is something that I'm going to be learning more from other people, which brings me to my second point. My big goal in 2016 is to become a member of a really powerful set of like-minded and similar level Amazon sellers, or preferably better level. And funnily enough, part of the bonus of doing a podcast and getting known means that people approach you every so often with various offers. That's starting to happen more, and somebody's just approached me with that exact thing. He said, like, I'm putting together a mastermind of some really power sellers. There's some people doing well in excess of $250,000 a month there. Would you be interested? And I'm like, hell yeah, count me in. So that has already been taken care of. My second big goal really is to become much more of an expert on Amazon. My third big goal connected with that is really to devote time, if not absolutely every day, pretty much daily, to learning about the business as well as actioning the business. So I need to have more ring-fenced time. It tends to get eaten up with other things. The podcast, I have to say, you guys, take a certain amount of time. So I will continue with these because people seem to find them useful, but I need to get the feedback from you that I actually do find it useful, that it is of value to you, because otherwise it's no point in me taking the time away from the business because it effectively costs me money. So very happy to help you guys, but that is one of the things that I'm very conscious of the value of my time now, because there's so much to play for in the business. I'm very excited about it, but that means that anything that takes me away from that has to be justified. So send me the love, guys. Tell me if it's useful to you. The best place to do that is the Facebook community. That seems the most interactive place. If you have any questions, by the way, do come to the blog, www.amazingfba.com/ask, and actually ask the question on a voicemail. There's an app called SpeakPipe. Be lovely to have more of those. We haven't had many of those. The other thing I'd love to do more is to do some interviews with sellers. You don't necessarily have to be a big power seller. Obviously, if you're turning over $250,000 and you're willing to talk to us, I'd absolutely love to have you on. But if you've just got started, if you made your first $5,000 or whatever it is, your first 10, come on board and give me an interview. And again, if you want to drop me an email and introduce yourself or PM me, it's michael@amazingfba.com if you want my email, or just PM me, Michael Vesey, if we're friends on Facebook. If we're not friends on Facebook, PM me anyway, and I will check my other folder from time to time. If it takes a few days for me to get back to you, don't panic about that. So another little aside there, because I think that the more we can all learn from each other, the more money we make, really. And that really brings me to the final point in my 2016 goals, which would be really choosing what to learn, what the benefits of learning are going to be. And really, I think, I commit this year to learning to be an expert. I've dabbled enough. I still have to keep the day job going in terms of, teaching work and some accompanying and some conducting. Not all of that is work that I would choose to do if I were making really great money in the Amazon business. So over time, I would aim to give some of that up. So in order to make that happen, I'm going to have to create a business that is serious enough for me to give up other work and reliably, which means the income stream from it has a certain consistency. In order to do that, I'm going to have to devote that time. So that's when the daily work comes in. So that's very much about the sort of big goals stuff. And big goals, but taking action daily. I believe that it is worth spending a bit of time on another podcast in talking about daily goals and daily action and daily habits, because I think that the daily routine that really works for you in real life, but which is powerful, is a very, very powerful thing that will change your business as well. But for now, that's all I have to say about goal setting for 2016. So go and basically answer the questions for yourself that we've covered. And I'll put up a little breakdown of this on the show notes, as usual, at the usual place, which will be www.amazingfba.com/25, because this is episode 20. So So guys, hopefully this has been a useful episode for you. I think I don't spend enough time, funnily enough, doing two things. One is big picture thinking. The other one is absolutely relentless daily action. So in other words, I'm not doing anything like enough for my Amazon business. I know I could do more. I know I could be better. I know this business could take off more. One thing that I think is going to really, really help me is being part of a community of my peers. And I totally urge you to do the same. Once again, if you're not already a member, get yourself onto our Facebook group and get in there and ask questions, guys. I will check it pretty much daily and I'll answer questions pretty much daily. That may be a day or two's delay if I've got a busy week and if I'm launching a new product or something. But, you know, I will look at your questions and I will interact. So get in there and use it. Don't get in there and just follow. I mean, yes, by all means, read what other people read, you know, have written, and you'll learn a lot from that. But get in there and ask questions and join us on Periscope as well. If you look for at amazingfba.com, you could follow us on Twitter as well. I don't tend to put much on Twitter, but I will generally on Twitter share links from the Periscope and from the podcast as well. But do follow us on Twitter if you're a tweeting person, whatever the word is. But come and join in the Facebook group and make yourself a community, make yourself part of our community of peers, because I think that accountability, that motivation, and that sort of, you know, a place where you can get your questions answered is a very powerful thing. I can't think of anything that's more singly powerful. You know, they say that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, you know, in terms of money and attitude and everything else. So get yourself in a community of the right kind of people. AmazingFBA.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. Come ask questions there. Give us feedback on this Periscope new platform and give me feedback on the podcast, how good it is for you. And in the meantime, remember, guys, very simple. I'm going to have to find a better catchphrase these days. So here's my catchphrase. The more you learn, the more you earn. However, only if you implement, yeah? So learn, do, review. Learn, do, review. That is the Holy Trinity. If you learn stuff, then you put it into action and you see what happens, you get results, you learn from the mistakes, you learn from the things that work. That is how you really, really move forward. So just remember, guys, the more you learn, the more you earn. Learn, do, review. Get out there, take action, and get in touch with us. Share your wins, share your problems, and we'll all help each other out. Thanks, guys. See you in the next episode.